Okay, guys, I know y'all tuned into another episode today of Hot Takes with TP3. Before we get things started, we got a quick word from our sponsors. The first sponsor of today's episode is Prize Picks. I don't know if y'all are familiar or not with Prize Picks platform and how it works. If you download the app and you use promo code TP3BETS, you will receive 100% instant match deposit of up to $100. So you deposit $100, you get 100 back. Let's say you deposit 50, you get 50 back, and so on and so forth. How it works, guys, you pick 2 to 6 players, and if they'll go over or under their projections, more or less, you get up to 25% or 25 times your money on that. Let's say tonight you want to pick Luka Doncic to go over 28.5 points, LeBron over 7.5 rebounds, Dalvin Cook over 86.5 rush yards, and let's say you want to go with Jameis Winston under 205 pass yards, something or other like that, guys. It offers a ton of sports. That means you can have NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football. The list goes on and on. They even have tennis, NASCAR, anything you could possibly want. It is on there, I promise, guys. Prize Picks is available in your state. Download the app to check and make sure it's in your state. Once again, use code TP3BETS. It takes about 60 seconds to pick everything and deposit. It's easy withdraw, easy deposit. Once again, use code TP3BETS if you want to sign up for Prize Picks. Okay, guys, second sponsor of the show we have is SoBet. That's SoBet.io. The link is in my bio on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at TP3Bets. But y'all don't even know what SoBet is yet, man. It is the best value in sports betting. There's over 38 other handicappers on there like myself. It's $10 a month, and you get all those bets. Let's say you don't want to tail me. You can tail somebody else on the website. Everybody over there is winning. Everyone's putting in great work. You get every single bet explained, like me and Ben break down for you guys on these podcasts. Might as well go ahead and do it for only $10 a month. Might as well sign up, try a month, say you don't like it. It's all good, guys. But yeah, SoBet. Go over there, get at them. How's it going today, guys? We're back here live in the studio for the episode of Hot Takes with TP3. Once again, I am your host coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia on Thursday, September 28th, 2023. And as always, guys, I am joined by none other than Ben Gorowitz. Ben, you excited for another week of football?
I am excited for another week of football. The NFL card is tough to come by this week, and finding a best bet, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, the NFL card is very tough to come by. Usually it's the opposite for me. I struggle with college, and I can figure out my NFL pretty quick. It's the exact opposite this week, guys. I'm still struggling with the NFL. I can't even lie. Ben, you want to give the people a recap of how we did last week and how we're doing on the season?
Yeah. It was a good week for me. I'll be honest. It was 3-0 in college football. For me, 4-3 for you in college football. That brings our college football total to 16-23. From where we started, the comeback is
were we like evident. 3-19 or 3-17?
It was a bad start. Last week in the NFL, I also went 3-0 and you went 1-1, bringing our NFL podcast totals to 10-6-1, one push.
Ben, you know what pisses me off is I had to take the L on Oklahoma because I did say 14.5, even though I bet it at 14. And it's not even that pisses me off. Two of the bets I gave out, which were supposed to be my two layups, were the two losers for me. And those were the only two bets that I lost the entire day.
Well, so, also not to rub it in, but I was on Cincinnati plus 14.5.
Yeah, he was. Luckily, I had 14 on the actual sports book. And you know what's even more annoying about that is if I had waited to bet it the day of, it went all the way down to 13. So, yeah, just a negative EV bet all around.
I will say this, though. Whether you're new to gambling or not, don't take 14.5, like, ever. Just buy it to minus 120, whatever it is, and just take the 14. If you're taking a favorite, you don't want to be on the hook.
See, I'm a psycho, and the way I look at it is I'm not betting you minus 14 or 14.5 if I don't think you're going to win this game by 4 touchdowns, which I did think was going to happen. I will say I'm very impressed with Emory Jones, and I will have a play for that game, but I'm not going to give it out on here. But let's get down to it for college football. I have a pretty large card. Do you have anything for Friday's games, Ben?
I do have a Friday game, actually.
As do I. You want to start us out here with Friday night action, Ben?
Yeah, we do in Utah at Oregon State. That's where I'm going to go. Listen, two teams who prefer to run the football. We still don't know if Cam Rising's playing. I think even if he does play, first game back off a torn ACL in a tough environment like this, it's not a full go situation, in my opinion. I don't think he's going to start though. Utah's offense has really struggled. Even against Florida, I wouldn't say, like, you know, they started off hot. I don't remember if it was a flea. No, I think it was just a play action. It may be a flea flicker. They went deep on the first play of the game, but they didn't overpower Florida's defense by any means. They were efficient moving the ball downfield, but Utah's offense is still yet to click. They do like to run the football. It's a ground and pound to get the ball back to their defense, who's been a real strength for them. And Oregon State, we talked about it during our Pac-12 preview. It's as an upgrade as it might be with DJ Uiagalelei at quarterback. He's still DJ. They still like to run the football with their two guys. They got DJ can also run the football out of the quarterback position. I think we're getting a lot of ground and pound this game. Utah's got an aggressive defense. I think can bother DJ a little bit in the pocket, make him move his feet. Two teams. Really, this conference, they're so much better at home in this conference than they are on the road. But specifically, these two teams, just two teams that are really tough to win at home. I'm not touching the spread though. Give me under 44 and a half. I'm going to trust these defenses. Utah's head coach, Kyle Whittingham, off the 14-7 victory at UCLA, is talking about that's the greatest defense performance he has seen since he's been at Utah. I think they're playing with a lot of confidence. They're an aggressive defense, and I'm going to take the under 44 and a half.
Ben, you know what? I wasn't going to have a play for this game on here, but I did end up locking it in earlier, so why not go ahead and give it out, piggyback off what you said. I'm going Oregon State minus 3.5, and let's go back to what you said. This Utah team, when they play at home, is a completely different team from when they play on the road. Even if Cam Rising plays, I don't care. Cam Rising's not going to be that effective. He's more of a runner than a passer anyway, and he does his damage with his legs. He hasn't been taking in-game hits. They've been holding him out clearly because he's not ready to go. I think that Oregon State comes out here and throttles them personally. They got to be pissed off a loss. Oregon State is one of the best home field advantages in Corvallis, like you said. And two, I mean, look what Utah's offense did against Baylor. That was awful. Give me Oregon State. They win this game by, I think, 10 to 12 points. In a game where points will definitely be hard to come by. Yeah, I like Oregon State to win this game by close to two touchdowns. My Friday bet, though, actually, I'm going to go with Louisville minus 3. First of all, NC State lost a ton of guys in the secondary. Their starting running back said he sat out because he's transferring. They have a couple other people's or players go ahead and sit out because they're transferring. They have tons of injuries in the secondary. This Louisville offense looks like the offense I thought it would be under Jeff Brohm. They're not missing a beat. This team's just starting to hit their stride now. I know this is their first real test, and I know playing at NC State at night's tough. NC State struggled with Virginia last week. That was embarrassing. I personally think this NC State team's bad, and this is our last chance to get a good number fading them. Give me Louisville to come in here and beat them outright.
What was that line was 3?
Yeah, minus 3.
Louisville's offense has really been humming, as you said. I'm going to go to my best bet of the weekend. The number, I mean, it could change. I'm still seeing it at 13. Give me Mizzou minus 13 at Vanderbilt. I even think if it gets the 14, I'd still play that. AJ Swan, Vandy's quarterback, has been banged up the last three games, and he's projected to be out this game as he just continues to get more banged up. Their backup quarterback does not have a ton of experience, and in the small window that he has more interceptions than touchdowns. Vanderbilt may be an SEC school, but they're not rolling out depth like a prototypical SEC school. Their backup quarterback is just as bad as most other average to below average programs out there. It's someone that you don't want playing unless you just have to put him out there. Mizzou has they have someone next week. Who do they have next week?
The Missouri plays LSU next week.
LSU next week. I'm not nervous about this look-ahead spot. I think they go into Vandy. I think they take care of business. Their receiver play right now has been incredible. Luther Burden has been every bit of the five-star that he was recruited to be. Mookie Cooper has also been a good duo weapon for Burden. Their quarterback has been also a little bit banged up. So Sam Horn, I think, had to play a little bit last week. By the way, Sam Horn, I you have to change your number. Unless you're wearing number 20 or whatever he is for someone, then I will take that back. I may have to do research on that, but it pisses me off to see whatever number he is. I can't even think about it right now. But I'm going to take Mizzou minus 13. I think they go into Nashville and just pound Vandy. This Vanderbilt team just is – they're not it.
Yeah, we found that out the hard way week zero, Ben, that Vanderbilt is not it. Thanks for reminding me. anyway, I got to play for us. This is my game of the week. Let's go ahead and talk about it, man. Give me the Arkansas Razorbacks +7. I'm also on the over in this game, but I'm only going to count the +7 for the podcast here. I love this spot for the Razorbacks. KJ Jefferson got the offense rolling last week. Rocket Sanders has been practicing and taking reps with the first team all week long. Obviously, it's college football, so you can literally say somebody's not playing until they run out there for warmups and they're out there warming up, and you can lie about that stuff, which is ridiculous. So I think Sam Pittman's trying to withhold that from the media due to the fact that it's kind of a surprise, you know, because he's one of the best running backs in the nation. But I have an insider source who tells me that he is playing in this game. I will not reveal my insider source, but I do know he's playing. None of that matters to me, though. Look at the Arkansas schedule. They still have to go on the road. They have to play at Ole Miss after this. They have to play at Alabama. And I'm drawing a blank on the other team, but they have to play on the road at another ranked SEC team. At this point, they need to win this game desperately. Oh, at Florida is their other road game they have left. So that's three losses for sure on the road. Arkansas needs this game like blood. This is a rivalry game. It's played in Jerry World. Arkansas comes to play in this game. Arkansas is top 20 in offensive efficiency this year. I think this game, it goes over the total easily, and I think Arkansas is going to win this game outright. I'll take the 7 points, though, because why not take a touchdown if they're going to give it to me?
Yeah, no two ways about it that they need this game. No two ways about it. Here's the thing. I mean, with the expectations Arkansas had this year, I mean, we're here and they got the best running back quarterback duo in the country, definitely the SEC. Like, and they're just going to flop on this season. Like, it is a, put it in bold, italicized, biggest font you can find. This is a must win for the Razorbacks, and you're going to take the points with it because we really don't care if they win or lose. We just hope they cover the spread. I'm gonna go to my eye test game of the week.
Okay.
Oregon -27 at Stanford. Stanford is garbage once again. They played at USC week two. By the way, Stanford beat Hawaii, and didn't Hawaii beat Vandy?
Yeah, Vandy? No, Vandy won by
Vandy
seven.
Beat Hawaii. They scored 10 points at USC. We're going to find out how good or bad USC's defense really is this week with what Oregon did to Colorado. Colorado now goes to USC. I'm a believer that Oregon's defense is much better than USC's. And if you're scoring 10 at USC, I'm not acting like Stanford's got some home field advantage that's going to be rocking in this game. You just look at the stats and they couldn't be more different, right? Points per game, Oregon's second in the country. Stanford's 97th in the country. Total yards, Oregon is second in the country. Stanford's 83rd in the country. There's no strength rushing or throwing the football for Stanford. And you look at their defensive stats, and they're about as horrendous as they can get. They're 126th in pass yards allowed per game. Oregon is 9th in the country. Total yards, they're 120th giving up Stanford. Oregon's 11th. Defensively, and defensively for Stanford, they're 114th in the country in points allowed. This is a route spot for Oregon once again. And I don't think this Oregon team's built for a letdown. A lot of media hype last week playing Colorado. They got it done and more. I don't want to say they flat out embarrassed Colorado because of how low we've seen Colorado. Yeah. But in terms of Deion standards, like that's an embarrassment. For what just happened. Did they score a point? Did they score one? They scored one at the end, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they did.
Finished with six, but I think this is a route for Oregon. Give me -27.
Yeah, I quit watching that game in halftime. We were all over that one, that it was going to be a blowout. Ben, actually do put me down for the Arkansas A&M game over 53. I'm just going to say this rather than go into my, since I already broke that game down. It's just ridiculous how low that number is. It's a good spot to buy low on both offenses and to buy low on two bad defenses. Let's not remember back to how much Miami moved the ball on A&M easily. I'm going to stay in the 1 o'clock window or the 12 o'clock window for one last play here. Give me Kentucky -120 on the money line. Florida is 2-8 against the spread. 2-8 straight up their last three seasons on the road. Those wins came at USF. and at Texas A&M, who was down 12 players due to sickness. Florida has no passing game, and they're pretty stout, and Kentucky's stout against the run. I think Florida's offense is going to come out here and struggle in this game. Also, too, Mark Stoops has played really well as a short favorite at home. He's over 65% in that spot, so I think Kentucky, better team here, comes out and gets it done. I mean, let's not forget, Florida's win total before the season was at 5.5. I think Kentucky and Devin Leary gets it done here. Also, too, Ben, what was that stat you sent me again that they were sixth in the nation in?
Let me pull it up real quick. It is top offenses through week four opponent. It's an opponent adjusted. So you can't argue that you're playing, you know, the school of the blind and deaf. It's opponent adjusted. Shout out Pick Six Previews. Kentucky is the sixth best offense in the country as of right now.
We'll take it.
Louisville was eighth, by the way, for your point earlier.
Hey, we'll take them, man. Gotta love being on the same side as both those. Ben, give us your last. Wait, is that all your plays for college?
Yep, just those three.
Okay, perfect. I'll go quick here then. I got two more left. I will have more plays posted up, but these are the only ones I've officially put in play right now. Give me Texas and Kansas to go over 61 points. I have a heavy lean to Kansas plus 16.5 in this game, but ultimately I ended up passing because I can't get out of my mind Texas beating them by 50 plus last year. Texas is going to be able to call their number on offense in this game, and they'll score at will. But Kansas offense has proved that all the tarp and players they have back is legit. I think this Kansas offense is a legit unit, and Jalon Daniels is one of the better quarterbacks in college football. Kansas knows they're not going to win this game in the trenches with their defense. They know it's going to be their offense that wins this game for them. Give me Texas to win this game in a shootout, but I'm taking the over in this game. I think this game might be the highest scoring game of the afternoon. And then
it was the last time these two teams played in Austin, I believe. Daniels was the quarterback. And
yeah, that was the one that Kansas beat them, right?
Yeah, but I think the final score was like 53-51, or I think it was a very high score.
Yeah, I think it'll be like that. I mean, we know Texas can throw the deep ball. I think both these teams are going to – honestly, I think this one's going to be over in, like, the third quarter.
Which team do you think has the better quarterback?
I'm definitely going to go with Quinn Ewers, but I do like Jalon Daniels a lot.
I know you like him. That's why I was asking.
The other one, though, that I'm on right here is I'm rocking with Ben's boys. Give me Alabama and Mississippi State. I know I'm bucking the Sharps steam. I don't give a fuck. These Sharps don't know what they're doing in this game. Give me the over at 46.5 in this game. So let me ask you this, Ben. I'm not even asking this. I'm going to tell you this. So if the Sharps are going to be all over Mississippi State to cover this game, do they think Mississippi State's going to magically do it with their defense? Mississippi State's defense is garbage. This defense is pathetic. This is one of our last good times we're going to be able to fade this defense for how bad they are. They're averaging over 400 plus yards per game, and that's with them playing a horrible FCS school to start the season off that scored 7 points and like 200 yards of offense. Against the P5, they've given up 34 points per game, and if you just put it down to SEC opponents, 37 and 41 points in those two games. Bama's going to be able to throw the ball all over them. They had no answers for the LSU passing offense till LSU called off the dogs and didn't try in the fourth quarter. Bama might have a little look ahead here to Texas A&M, so that's why I think that we should be able to get 10 points out of Mississippi State's offense. If they can give us 10 freaking points, we'll cash easily. They threw the ball over 40 times last week. They've gotten back to throwing the football. Mississippi State's not going to win this game, like I said, with their defense. Also, I think Bama's offensive numbers are skewed from playing in the rainstorm against USF. I think people are really underselling how good the Alabama offense actually is. They had a bunch of possessions in the red zone and just couldn't convert to touchdowns. I think Milroe's going to have a big day in the air and on his legs, and this is the perfect time for Alabama to get the offense humming against a terrible defense. I think Alabama scores 40 in this game, and I think we go over easily. 46.5 for a defense as bad as Mississippi State's a joke. I don't even think we need Mississippi State to score to hit the over here.
I love your confidence.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this Mississippi State defense is terrible. Spencer Rattler had his backup. They're down their number one receiver. I can't think of his name right now. Last week, and Spencer Rattler was still through for
Juice Wells.
I think he threw for over 500 yards against them last week. I know he had two touchdown passes of over 70 yards against them. One of them was 96. So
I will say, Milroe's deep ball has been impressive.
Exactly,
it might be it in the passing game, but the man can throw a deep ball.
Yeah, and Mississippi State does not have a prayer stopping the deep ball. I watched them get bombed all over the last 2 weeks. This line's way too low. I mean, even if this thing was in the 50s, I would still take it. This line's a joke, in my opinion. Ben, let's go over to the NFL now. You have two plays in the NFL. I have two plays. I'm struggling in the NFL. I can't even lie, guys. Ben, start us off.
Yeah. Patriots and Cowboys in Dallas, I believe, this year. Mac Jones might want to say some prayers before this. I mean, this defensive line might get after him in a split second just about every play in this game. I think this Patriots offense is really going to have to rely on the run game to try to get them going. The Dallas defense has been stifling all year. I know that they're missing Trayvon Diggs. This will be their first. This will be the first game without him. I'm not making that up, right?
Second game without him.
Second game? Okay. I apologize. I don't think the Patriots have the wide receivers to take advantage of a corner like Diggs being out. Give me the under 43 in this game. I don't see a lot of points from the Patriots side. And to no shocker, but the Patriots defense has been very good this year. The rookie Gonzalez has been everything that everyone thought he was going to be. You and I talked immediately on draft night that it was weird to hear so much buzz about Christian Gonzalez, but then he kept sliding back.
Yep.
And then when the Patriots got him, you and I were texting each other like, wait, did he fail a physical? Did he say a slur? Like, why did he fall back? And of course, lands right into the defensive wizard of Bill Belichick's hands, and he's proving everyone who passed on him wrong so far. He has really shut down receivers on the other side of the field. I haven't paid enough attention to see if he's kind of shadowing everyone or if he's just staying on one side. But I think the Cowboys got so many good receivers that if you can just shut one of them down, per play at a time, I like that for the under. Give me Patriots and Cowboys under 43.
Ben, another thing that's in your favor here is Dallas has four offensive linemen that are injured right now, and only one of them practiced, and he was limited. So ain't no telling how that offensive line is going to look for Dallas. I agree with you about that Patriots defense. I'm actually have this game marked on my sheet, but it's not officially in play for me yet. An official play, though, I do have actually locked in here in the NFL is I'm going to rock with the Buccaneers plus 3.5. Jameis Winston in games where he's favored. I know it's a Jameis revenge game. Technically, it's going to be in New Orleans, but Jameis is 8-19-1 ATS is a favorite. And Dennis Allen is 4-10 ATS when he's favored. And the Saints are 1-6 ATS in the division under Dennis Allen as a head coach. Sean Hockley is going to be officiating this game when he's the head ref since 2021. The road dog is 16-6-1 against the spread. And since 2021, road teams are 12-3 against the spread, including 10-5 straight up in divisional matchups. The underdogs are 9-0 against the spread, and they're 6-3 straight up in these games. I personally don't buy in the Saints team. I think they have a bad kicker. I think they're a pretty overrated roster, in my opinion. I've told you all a million times how I think the Saints are dog shit. I think that they come out here and get smoked in this game. Bucks win by a touchdown.
The ref stats just always crack me up with you. Shout out Ron Tolbert or Torbert, whatever his name is.
Yeah, he cashed for us again on that Steelers game.
He did. He did indeed. I'm going to give out another underplay. This is my eye test game of the week in the NFL. Bengals and Titans under 41.
Okay.
What are we getting out of the Tennessee offense all year? I mean, nothing is correct. I don't even know where you turn to. They can't block for Derrick Henry. Spears is just not ready. He's actually been decent catching the ball, Spears at a Tulane, but
yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you bench Tannehill that this team's any better with their other two options. So I think they're just riding with Tannehill for now. And he's not good. He used to be that you know, average to slightly above average quarterback. He could get it done for you. When you're that average quarterback and you get older, because remember, Tannehill's not, he wasn't bad rolling out of the pocket.
Yeah.
Run for first downs, good throwing on the run. He just can't move anymore, man. These guys are too fast when he gets out of the pocket. And what the hell's going on in Cincinnati? Okay, they turned it around a little bit last game, right? Jamar Chase got involved a lot. For some reason, T. Higgins could not catch the football on they played Monday night, I believe. I think they were part of the doubleheader. Three drops from T. Higgins is uncharacteristic. I don't believe Joe Burrow's close to 100%. I believe that this is an unofficial doctor report of the week by someone that's not a doctor. I think it's a situation where his calf may not be able to get worse, so that he's just going to play through it. I think if they started 2-0, he probably doesn't play that Monday night game.
Yeah.
The fact that they were 0-2 makes it a must-win situation. They're 1-2, and this is a I mean, you can't lose to the Titans. I don't care that it's in Nashville. I know that Vrabel's a stud with the defensive game plans, but you can't lose this game if you're a serious Super Bowl contender that I think everyone thinks the Bengals are. But I'm not ready to trust their offense yet, not going against a good defensive line that the Titans bring. Vrabel, you and I talk about this all the time. There's not many coaches in the NFL that I would take over Mike Vrabel. Defensive wizard. And I'm going to take under 41 in this game. And just until the Bengals prove that they can score a lot of points like they were able to do in the past years with Burrow, I don't believe it just yet. So give me under 41.
I like that look a lot, Ben. That game is too gross for me to even think of to play on. You know, there's a lot
Bengals
of different...
are small favorites, too.
Yeah, Bengals are small favorites, too. There's a lot of different ways I could go with this last one. I really don't even know what I want to do right now in the NFL. So I'm going to go with the Rams plus 1.5. Sean McVay off short rest is 10-3 ATS since 2019. The Rams grayed out is actually one of the more unlucky teams in the NFL. While on the flip side of things, the Colts grayed out is top five most lucky teams in the league. I mean, all of us were on the Colts win total under. The Colts right now are sitting at 2-1. I personally don't think the Colts are capable of going 3-1. I also don't really think that the Colts defense, while they get good push up front, I still think the Rams can have their way with their short pass game on them. This game is going to be played indoors, which I think plays an advantage to Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford in this one. So I'm a rock with the Rams, man. I really think they can get in there, especially with Anthony Richardson playing. I think it's a downgrade personally, especially since he's probably not going to try to run as much, which is huge.
Yeah, I hadn't seen the report whether he was playing quarterback. Let's not forget games that Gardner Minshew comes in and finishes. He's 2-0.
Ooh, good point, Ben. So hopefully hopefully the stash doesn't come running off that sideline and put on a helmet for my sake.
There's something about quarterbacks like Gardner Minshew to where, you know, if he's your starter for the whole season, you're probably going under 500. But he can get you multiple wins in a season. And that's what he does, and he's just going to hang around this league if he continues to be able to do that. So props to Gardner Minshew, but the future in Indy is Anthony Richardson, and when you're betting against the Colts and Anthony Richardson, that's a good place to be because he is susceptible to wild throws. Yeah. I mean, he could make a throw that's right to a Rams defender, and I don't think it would shock anyone.
No, I'm 100% with you on that one, Ben. It's going to be a hell of a weekend. We even got the Falcons coming on at 9:30 a.m., which I kind of hate because now that means I'm going to be watching NFL from 9:30 in the morning until about 11 o'clock at night when Sunday Night Football ends. But hey, wouldn't have it any other way, kicking off the day with my Falcons. Ben, anything else from you before we get out of here, man? Actually, let's recap the picks.
Yeah, I'll recap the picks, but I got nothing after that. Okay. College football, I'm going to start with myself. Oregon minus 27, Utah at Oregon State under 44.5. Mizzou minus 13. If it goes anywhere above 14, I wouldn't take it. I would take it at 14. Thomas, college football, Oregon State minus 3.5. Louisville minus 3. Arkansas plus 7. Arkansas and LSU over 53, I think your number was. Kentucky money line, which I second that pick. Texas and Kansas over 61. Alabama and Mississippi State over 46.5. NFL, Patriots and Cowboys under 43, Bengals, Titans under 41 for Thomas, Bucks plus 3.5, Rams plus 1.5.
That's all we got this week, guys. Let's get this money. Ben, it's been a pleasure as always.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide. Let's go Falcons.
Hey, Roll Tide. Let's go Falcons. Florida State's on a bye week, so we'll Roll Tide for this week. Peace.